Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace at this time. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name for this Sabbath day and the opportunity to come before you. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, that your word would touch our hearts and cause us to draw near you. Father, forgive us for our sinful nature and any sins that we've committed against you, because we know that we have an advocate with you, your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. His blood cleanses all our sins. And we ask, Father, that at this time you would do thus so, that you would cleanse our hearts and our minds and open them, Father, to hearing your word. We ask, Father, as we grow closer to you, as we do our part, Father, to be a righteous seed, because we know that our children look at us and follow the example, not just the words. So help us, Father, to be faithful in all things and to do your will and to humble our hearts before your throne of grace at this time. In the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we ask all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah. This is sort of different, but the first thing I'm going to talk about is Tish B'Av, which starts tonight. And there is a time for everything, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. We know this comes from Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 4. In his wisdom, King Solomon wrote, in Ecclesiastes, there is a season for everything and a time for every purpose under heaven. On the Jewish calendar, the ninth Tish B'Av, the ninth day of the Hebrew month Av, which is the fifth month, is a time for mourning. According to some rabbis, this day of fasting is as significant to the Jewish people as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which is considered the holiest day of the Jewish year. Tish B'Av, the saddest day in Jewish history, primarily commemorates the destruction of the first and second temples. In 586, before the Common Era, Solomon's temple, the first temple, was destroyed on Tish B'Av by the Babylonians, who sent the Jews into Babylonian exile or captivity under the leadership of Nehemiah and Ezra. Construction began on the second temple 70 years later in the Common Era. Herod's temple, the second temple, was destroyed on Tish B'Av by the Romans 656 years after the destruction of the first temple. This Saturday night and Sunday, religious Jews will gather to mourn the destruction of the temples and to read the words of the prophet Jeremiah and portions of the Book of Lamentations in the synagogues around the world at the Kotel, the Wailing Wall, which is Judaism's holiest site. It boggles the mind to think that both temples were destroyed on the very same day of the Hebrew calendar all those years apart. According to the Mishnah, not only were the Jewish people expelled from the land of Israel when both temples were destroyed on Tish B'Av, but during the time of Moses, Yahweh also delivered the verdict on Tish B'Av that Israel wouldn't enter the promised land because of their sins of unbelief, complaining, and idolatry. Apart from Yahshua and Caleb, who followed Yahweh wholeheartedly, Israel was condemned to wander the wilderness 40 years until the entire generation died. Other tragic events that befell the Jewish people on the exact same day are also remembered on Tish B'Av, most notably the expulsion of Jews from Spain. Rabbinic oral tradition, as recorded in the Mishnah in Tanit 4:6, reveals the details of several other tragedies that occurred on the 9th of Av. Other tragic events that took place on Tish B'Av and the Common Era 132, the Romans crushed the Bar Kokhba revolt and destroyed the city of Batar, killing over 100,000 Jews. In Common Era 133, a year later, following the Roman siege of Jerusalem, the Roman commander Turnus Rufus plowed the temple site and surrounding area. In 1095, the First Crusade was declared by Pope Urban II, killing 10,000 Jews in the first month and annihilating Jewish communities in France and in Rhineland. In 1290, King Edward I issued an edict expelling all Jews from England. In 1492, we know it for Columbus, but an edict of expulsion of Jews in Spain was carried out. And in 1914, World War I broke out, setting the stage for later deportation of Jews from the Warsaw Ghetto to Hitler's Treblinka death camp began. In 1994, the bombing of the Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires, killed 86 and wounded 300 others. In 2005, more than 8,500 Jewish residents were expelled from Gaza as a part of Israel's ill-fated disengagement plan, a desperate bid for peace designed to further relations with the Palestinian Arabs. How ironic that this time the Jewish people were expelled from their own land by secular Jewish Israelis. 2005 disengagement plan, expelling Jews from their homes in Israel. The 2005 expulsion was a land for peace deal with the Palestinians that obviously did not bring about peace. The Israeli government uprooted Jewish families from their homes in Gaza. A total of 1,700 families were displaced at a cost of nearly $900 million. Daycare centers, kindergartens, and schools were all closed. The Jewish bodies in the cemeteries were removed from the graves for burial elsewhere. Homes and civic buildings were bulldozed, with only the synagogues left standing. Some Israeli soldiers refused to participate, standing in their integrity before Yahweh and man, even at the risk of a military court-martial. The disengagement plan was an abysmal failure. After the Jewish soldiers left Gaza, the looting began. The synagogues were desecrated and torched. Gaza became the staging ground for terrorist attacks against Israel, and the rockets have been launched from Gaza ever since, raining terror and fear down on the Jewish towns and the cities in southern Israel. What a bitter pill to swallow. On Tish B'Av, we must ask ourselves, how could Yahweh's people be brutally torn from the land that he had promised in an everlasting covenant to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Comfort is found in Amos 9, 14 to 15. And you can turn there. Amos 9, 14 to 15. It says, and I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine of it. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of it. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, says Yahweh, your Elohim. How can believers, as fellow citizens in the Commonwealth of Israel, appropriately respond on Tish B'Av to the grief of the Jewish people? This is a time to weep with those who weep and mourn with our brethren, the people of Israel. Prophecy regarding the temple. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones. Those who are sent to her, how often I've wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. Joshua foresaw the destruction of the Holy Temple and the disaster that would come upon Israel, and he wept with compassion. He knew that not even one stone of the magnificent buildings of the temple would remain untouched. All would be thrown down. I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. And that's a messianic prophecy. Joshua knew, too, that he would be destined to fulfill messianic prophecy, that the Messiah would be cut off before the destruction of the second temple, which is in Daniel 9:26. He would pay the price for sin, but that because he was sinless, death could not hold him. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up, in John 2:19. The Jewish people longed for and prayed daily for the restoration of the Holy Temple. And in fact, today there are plans and preparations are already being made in Jerusalem for the third temple, although there is much opposition. Indeed, in the Brit Hadashah, which is New Testament, prophecies that in the end times the temple will be rebuilt. Within it, the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim or that is worshipped, will sit in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is Elohim. 2 Thessalonians 2:4. Although the temple will be rebuilt, perhaps not long from now, the land of Israel is far from being the holy land it is destined to be. In Israel today, there is great circumstances. There's a divide between those who believe the word of Yahweh and those who don't. Though circumstances may look bleak in the natural, Yahweh has not forsaken Israel. For Israel is not forsaken nor Judah by Yahweh, the Elohim of hosts. Though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Jeremiah 51:5. In the book Ezekiel, Yahweh sent a messenger throughout the midst of Jerusalem to put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over the detestable things that are done in it, Ezekiel 9:4. Yahweh is seeking intercessors to stand in the gap for Israel. Are we willing to be marked by Yahweh as an intercessor who shares his grief and plead for mercy for his people, Israel? We, the people of Yahweh, the servants of Yahweh, are looking out for tomorrow. Now, tomorrow starts sundown at Tish B'Av. And very few of our young people prepare for tomorrow because they believe they're invincible unless they are crippled with some debilitating disease. Do they value every day's blessing? Almighty Yahweh wants us to live each day to the fullest, brethren, but to prepare for tomorrow. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. That's Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 15. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is consumed, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure today, brethren? Is it with the people of Israel? Is it with Almighty Yahweh and this ministry? And the reason I'm asking this question is because when you look at what's important to you, and I'm talking about what you spend your money on, I'm talking about what's closest to you. Most of us is probably family, but a lot of us, and you think about it, it is a lot of people's material possessions. A lot of people are concerned or worried about things. And we can't be concerned about things. You know, we have to be concerned about this message, the evangel, what Yahweh has placed in our hearts. And when I look at the pictures, I have pictures that on my computer is at rest or whatever that comes up, and I see these pictures of the brethren of Kenya, and they're constantly rolling. And this is very close to my heart, and this is what I care about. I care about my family as well because they are my family. And when I look at what we're trying to do, not only there in Kenya, but other places, even here in the United States, this is what Yahweh wants us to care about. He wants us to place our treasure, you know, in advance. In other words, what we spend here is going to prepare for that kingdom tomorrow. We're going to continue in verse 22. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be sound, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is the darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and mammon. The temple was destroyed because the people of Israel forgot who they were worshiping. They forgot Yahweh, who prepared a people to serve him. They fell in love with this life. Therefore, they were rooted out. They were sent into captivity because they became idolaters. And that's what happens when we place things before Yahweh. When we look out for tomorrow, we're looking out for the kingdom of Yahweh. We're looking out for our investment in that particular time. In Psalm 17, verse 13 and 14, Psalm 17, it says, arise, O Yahweh, confront him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword. From men by your hand, O Yahweh, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. And that's what happens. People who have placed their hearts and love on this earth and the things of this earth are not going to be a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. Because that's the treasure that's in their heart. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like to a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Because he wants to be in that kingdom. He's willing to give away all of his earthly treasure to be a part of that kingdom. My question to you, as you're looking out for tomorrow, are you looking to be a part of that kingdom? Or are you satisfied with the treasures of this earth? Proverbs chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will they add to you. The commandments will add peace to your life, brother. Let not kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck and write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. And too often we do this. We lean on our own understanding over the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. We can't justify ourselves or our lives by this world. We know that the commandments of Yahweh teaches us everything we need to know. It says, trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. He's the one that's going to send you in the right direction. To the kingdom. He's going to direct your path each and every day if you've placed him first in your life. That means you're looking out for tomorrow. You're investing in the right stock, which is Yahweh. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. We know the difference between good and evil, brethren. We do. It will be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor Yahweh with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. We use this in our tithe messages because we're commanded to give of the first fruits to Yahweh. If we want to be first fruits with Yahshua the Messiah, we have to be willing to do this each and every opportunity. It says in verse 10, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your vats shall overflow with new wine. There's a passage in, I believe, Luke, which talks about the rich man that tore down his barns and was going to build greater because his wealth had grown so much. And then the scripture says, but foolish man, your soul is required of you that night. Who shall all those riches end up? And that's what happens. You cannot take it with you, brethren. I don't care how much wealth you have. Everything that we have is from Yahweh. Our houses, our cars, everything that we possess is his. We're just stewards of it. Think about it. You cannot take a thing out of this life. And I read something recently about you've never seen a U-Haul attached to the back of a hearse because when you die, you leave this planet the same way you came in, naked, with nothing. So it's important for us to understand where we have invested our wealth. That rich man that died, he left all of his goods, and most of them, when you read them, the Rockefellers and all of the other ones that had much wealth, were they very happy men? Most of them were not, because it's a price attached to it, because you have to look at it from the proper perspective. Yahweh gives you the power to acquire wealth. For what purpose? He wants you to be comfortable. He wants you to be happy. It tells us that in Ecclesiastes and other places. But he wants you to give. This is the reason that you're blessed. We live in the richest country in the world. And we are blessed. We are blessed with so much. But most of us take those blessings for granted. We have to understand that we have to think about other people, the purpose. Someone gave that we might hear this message a long time ago. Before we came into the knowledge of the truth, someone gave that this message would go out, that we would hear it. Our lives are not our own. We were bought with a price, brethren, the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. That message has to be shared throughout the world. It says in verse 11, My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh, neither be weary of his reproof. For whom Yahweh loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. And we know that Yahweh delights in us. Did a message on that not long ago. As a matter of fact, it should be on the website. It should have been uploaded this week. Yahweh delights in us, brethren. That's why he called us out of this world into his marvelous light. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding, for the gaining of it is better than the gaining of silver and the profit of it than fine gold. See, the knowledge of Yahweh is more valuable than any wealth. Yahweh can give us anything, but we have the best because we have the knowledge of Yahweh. She is more precious than rubies, and none of the things you can desire are to be compared to her. Nothing that you can desire are to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And we desire peace, brethren. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And we know that that tree of life is life eternal. And it says, and happy is everyone that retains her. Yahweh, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the skies dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then shall you walk in your way securely, and your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. How many of us are afraid of things that might happen? How many of us fear things that might happen? Yahweh is telling us we don't need to worry about that. We don't need to fear anything. Because he's our security. He's our confidence. It says, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. For Yahweh will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being taken. Because we've invested in the right things. See? We've given to the poor. We've fed the hungry. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when you have it by you. If we have it, the wherewithal to help someone, we're supposed to do it. Psalm 119. Verse 162, this is a psalm of David. David is saying, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great plunder. He's excited as one that finds a great treasure because he knew that the word of Yahweh was just that, a great treasure. And when we put that before the carnal things of this life, we see the blessings coming back to us. And it's not just about the physical blessings. It's about the spiritual blessings. This is the reason that we are serving Yahweh, not for physical things. We're not serving Yahweh for physical things. We want to be a part of the kingdom of Yahweh, which is soon coming. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, brethren. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthian brethren. In verse 1 it says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of Yahweh which has been given in the assemblies of Macedonia," which is the Greeks. "How that in much proof of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty increased to the riches of their liberality. For according to their power, I bear witness, yes, and beyond their power, they gave of their own accord." And he's saying these are poor people, yet they were givers, beseeching us with much entreaty in regard of the grace and of the fellowship in the ministering to the saints. And this, not as we had hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Master and to us through the will of Yahweh, insomuch that we exhorted Titus that as he had made a beginning before, so he also complete in you this grace. But as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by way of commandment, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity also of your love. For you know the grace of our Master Yahshua, the Messiah, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And we all have become rich through Yahshua the Messiah. So we've become partakers of that sacrifice. And in this I give my judgment, for this is expedient for you who were the first to make a beginning a year ago, not only to do, but also to will. But now complete the doing also, that as there was the readiness to will, so there may be the completion also out of your ability. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according as man has, not according as he has not. For not that the others may be eased and you distressed, but by equality, your abundance being a supply at the present time for their want, that their abundance may also become a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to Elohim, who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he indeed accepted our exhortation, but being himself very earnest, he went forth unto you of his own accord. And we have sent together with him the brother whose praise in the good tidings is spread through all the assemblies. And not only so, but who was also appointed by the assembly to travel with us in the matter of this grace, which is ministered by us to the glory of Yahweh, to show our readiness, avoiding this, that any man should blame us in the matter of this bounty which is ministered by us. For we take thought for honorable things, not only in the sight of Yahweh, but also in the sight of men. So Paul was moved by the giving of these poor brethren. Yahweh knows what's in each and every one of our hearts, brethren. He truly knows what's there. And he knows that as we give to move this ministry forward, we are storing in our spiritual account for the kingdom of Yahweh. Drop down to chapter 9, that's 2 Corinthians 9. We'll start at verse 1. It says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your readiness, of which I glory on your behalf to them of Macedonia, that Achaia has been prepared for the past year, and your zeal has stirred up very many of them. But I have sent the brethren, that our glorying on your behalf may not be made void in this respect, that even as I said, you may be prepared, lest by any means, if there come with me any of Macedonia and find you unprepared, we, that we say not you, should be put to shame in this confidence. I thought it necessary, therefore, to entreat the brethren that they would go up before you and make up beforehand your previously promised bounty, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of extortion, because they had promised so much to the ministry. And see, we've done this in the past. We've promised to do certain things. We've promised to give certain things, and then we have to follow through with those vows and promises. In verse 6 it says, but this I say, he that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And this is talking about people who are giving from their heart because they love the work. They love what they're doing because they're looking out for tomorrow. They're looking out for the kingdom of Yahweh. They're not looking to their earthly bank accounts. They're not looking to what they're going to leave their children. They're looking out for the kingdom. And Yahweh is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound to every good work, as it is written, he that scattered abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. As I said, Yahweh knows your heart. He knows. And he that supplies seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. We know righteousness, the definition is the keeping of the commandment. So what have you done for Yahweh lately? I'm not just talking about your tithes, because we're taught to give first tithes, second tithes for our feast days and offerings. But what have you done, even outside of that, for Yahweh, that would increase the fruits of your righteousness? You being enriched in everything to all liberality which works through us, thanksgiving to Yahweh for the administration of the service, not only fills up the measure of the wants of the saints, but abounds also through the many thanksgivings to Yahweh, seeing that through the proving of you by this ministration, then glorify Yahweh for the obedience of your confession to the good tidings of the Messiah and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they themselves also with supplication on your behalf, long after you, by reason of your exceeding grace of Yahweh in you. Thanks be to Yahweh for his unspeakable gifts. Almighty Yahweh is in control, brethren. He has to be ruling in your heart each and every day. In Psalm 24, you turn with me there. Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, the earth is Yahweh's and the fullness of it, the world and they that dwell in it. Everything belongs to him. And everything, everyone and everything belongs to Yahweh. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of Yahweh? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from Yahweh and righteousness from the Elohim of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek after him, that seek your face, even Jacob, Selah. So we see who Yahweh is concerned with, because everyone and everything belongs to him. The question is, do we recognize it? And if we do, are we storing up treasures for the kingdom? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll start in verse 1. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, let as many as are servants under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of Yahweh and the doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but let them serve them rather, because they that partake of the benefit are believing and beloved. These things teach and exhort. So if you're working for one of the brethren, you still have to give your all in working for that individual. We're supposed to give our all regardless of who we work for, as if we're working for Yahweh. If any man teaches a different doctrine and consents not to sound words, the words of our master, Yahshua the Messiah, and to the doctrine which is according to holiness, he is puffed up, knowing nothing, but doting about questionings and disputes of words, of which comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, wranglings of men corrupted in mind and robbed of the truth, supposing that righteousness is the way of gain, but holiness with contentment is great gain. Almighty Yahweh is showing us that righteousness, which is the keeping of the commandments, is what we need to do, the right way to go. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. But having food and covering, we shall be content. We shall be content. With that, but they that are minded to be rich fall into temptation and a snare that many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So how do we avoid this? The way we avoid this is being good stewards of the things that Yahweh has blessed us with. See, we realize that they belong to Yahweh, not us. We're stewards of the blessings that Yahweh has given us, whether it's our bank account, whether it's our property, whether it's our vehicles, anything that he's given us. We're stewards of it. But you, O man of Yahweh, flee these things and follow after righteousness, holiness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto you were called, and did confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. I charge you in the sight of Yahweh, who gives life to all things, and of the Messiah Yahshua, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep the commandments without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, which we know is soon coming. See, that's why they're talking about building that third temple. And that's why we don't need to get worked up over, you know, what's going to happen on Tish B'Av. Because Yahweh used that day, obviously, not only in the past, but he even is planning on using it in the future for some more catastrophic things that will befall the people. We have to be a spiritual people. We cannot be concerned with this life as far as the wealth of it, as far as, you know, the things that pertain to this life. Yahweh wants us to enjoy it. Yes, we're supposed to. But we have to look out for the poor, for those that don't have. We are considered richer in America by every other nation standards. We are considered rich. That you keep the commandment in verse 14 without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, which in its own times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and sovereign of rulers, who only has immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power eternal. Amen. Charge them, in verse 17, that are rich in this present world, that they be not high-minded, nor have their hopes set on the uncertainty of riches, because they are uncertain. You can't take it with you. If you want to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, then you need to leave that wealth of the world here. Because if you dwell on that, you might lose the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to be concerned about things, about material things. Yahweh blesses us with these things, you know, but he blesses us with them for a purpose, not for us to hoard, for us to share. But on Yahweh, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, that they be ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on the life, which is life indeed, and that's in the kingdom of Yahweh. O Timothy, guard that which is committed to you, turning away from the profane babblings and opposition of the knowledge which is falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Brethren, we have to look out for tomorrow because we know what tomorrow holds. It's the kingdom that is coming upon this earth. And for us to be prepared and have our bank accounts there full, we can do that through good works in this life and doing that which we have to do as far as helping the weak, giving to those that are in need, clothing those that are naked, housing those that are homeless, and feeding those that are starving. We know that Yahweh has blessed us here in America. But because of those blessings, and I'm talking about the material blessings, it has blinded the eyes of so many people, you know. They don't seem to see what the purpose is of those blessings. Our hope and our prayer is that many will hear the word of Yahweh and turn to him. And we do this through this work. This is our way of helping and reaching the people whom Yahweh will send our way. He's the one that put out the call. Our job is just to bring them to Yahshua. So as people hear this CD and those that are hearing this live, if you have not made that covenant with Almighty Yahweh, it's time to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit through baptism. So you have to make your calling and election sure, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We have to look out for tomorrow and be prepared. So therefore, this is something that we need to do, each and every one of us, that needs to be in Yahweh's kingdom, need to have his Holy Spirit, and need to be baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. So with that, I want to close with this. Almighty Yahweh loves each and every one in His creation. He doesn't want to see not one person perish. So it's our job to get this word out to as many people so that they would hear the word of Yahweh and repent and draw closer to Him through baptism once they've made that decision to be a part of the kingdom, which is soon coming as we look out for tomorrow. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. And if you would stand at this time, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we truly humbly bow our hearts before Your throne of grace. We thank You, Father, for historically showing us what Tish B'Av is about. Prepare Your people, Father, those who have an appointment with You, to be a part of Your kingdom, that they would look out for tomorrow, that they would prepare their hearts today so that they would be ready. And we know, Father, whatever tomorrow brings on this next Tish B'Av, that we would be ready and we would be comforted as we pray for Your people throughout the world. We ask that they would gain the knowledge of You. We thank You, Father, for all You've done for us, for our life, health, and strength, and for revealing Your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, to each and every one of us. We love You and we thank You. And we pray, Father, that You would touch hearts, that You would cause the many. We know that the love of the many will grow cold in the last days, but we ask, Father, that You would touch hearts and You would cause them to change and to warm up towards You so that they would overcome, whether they go through the tribulation and have to overcome with the blood that way or whether they would heed and be hidden by You prior. It's in Yahshua's holy name that we come before You asking these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. For our closing psalm, if you'll take your songbooks in hand, we're going to sing number 30, I think it's 33. Yes, Holy Love, number 33. now if you give your attention to Brother Willie McKelvey. He'll be leading us in benediction.